KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
NBC News Radio, I'm Melissa Rayberger. Shots were fired at an IHOP restaurant in Carson City, Nevada today, and officials say 9 people were hit.
When officers arrived, there were victims of the shooting across the parking lot and throughout the restaurant.
Sheriff Ken Furlong says 5 of the people who were hit were members of the Nevada National Guard. 2 of the Guard members have died. Officials say the gunman killed himself. Officials say 2 people have now died in the big wildfire outside Austin, Texas, that has destroyed some 600 homes. NBC's Jay Gray says the blaze is proving a tough opponent for firefighters.
They're working this fire on 2 fronts, on the ground and from the air, but really not able to make any progress as far as getting a handle on things here.
Wall Street returned from the holiday weekend in a selling mood. Stocks fell for the 3rd straight session, partly due to worries about the European debt problem. The Dow was off 101 points. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Melissa Rayberger, NBC News Radio.
Laryngitis and public speaking don't go together. Neither do germs and doorknobs. But thanks to the Walgreens brand sale, cold tablets and bandages do. Because this week at Walgreens, you can mix, match, and save on thousands of Walgreens pharmacist-recommended Walgreens brand health and wellness products. Buy one Walgreens brand product, get one 50% off. See store or walgreens.com for details. Walgreens, there's a way. Of equal or lesser value, offer not available on products or services submitted for insurance reimbursement. Other exclusions or restrictions may apply. Void where prohibited by law.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. With a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you'll end up paying over $400,000 after interest. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your debts. Let me send you a powerful free CD. For your free CD, call 1-800-942-9529. 1-800-942-9529. 1-800-942-9529.
From the KCAA Weather Center, I'm Rod Tatter. Well, this evening there's a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Overnight we'll have clear skies, our low 68. Wednesday should be sunny and hot with a high of 101. Wednesday night we'll have clear skies and a low of 66. It'll be quite breezy as west winds gust at 30 miles an hour. Thursday should be a sunny, very warm day with a high of 98. Thursday night, it'll be clear, our low 63. Friday will finish the week with sunshine and a high of 81. Again, for tonight, it'll be clear with a low of 68. That's your weather forecast for this hour from the station that leaves no listener behind, NBC News Radio, AM 1050, KCAA.
Good afternoon, it's 4:03. I'm Brett Malik with this Inland Empire traffic update. Brought to you by 99 Cents Only Stores. Looking for last-minute back-to-school deals? Look no further. 99 Cents Only Stores has backpacks, kids' t-shirts, knee-highs, and a 3-pack of kids' socks for only 99.99 cents each. Now to the roads. A couple of issues out there. On the 91 westbound, that's slowing down through Riverside from the 62-15 split to 14th. The 215 southbound is sluggish from La Cadena to Blaine, and the 15 southbound is slow from 4th to Limonite. Currently, it's only 102 degrees outside the studios of AM 1050 here in downtown San Bernardino. Taking your business seriously with Gary Campolino is coming up next. I'm Brett Malik on the station that leaves no listener behind, and your home for Inland Empire 66er playoff baseball starting tomorrow against Lake Elsinore. On AM 1050 and KCAARadio.com.
Once upon a time, there were 3 little investors.
The first little investor built his portfolio with stocks.
But the big, bad economy blew his savings away.
The second little investor built his portfolio with bonds.
The big, bad economy wrecked his portfolio too.
But the third little investor knew he needed something solid. He called the CT Group, experts in tangible assets. They showed him how rare coins, gold, and other precious metals were standing strong. They explained the different tangible asset accounts he could choose from. He called 866-909-5515, and one of their experts answered all his questions. With the help of CT Group, the third little investor weathered the big, bad economy.
Gold is at an all-time high. Find out how to capitalize on this unprecedented economic window. Call 866-909-5515. The CT Group will show you the real strength tangible assets can give your portfolio. Don't wait. Call 866-909-5515 now.
Do you own a new car, a Porsche, BMW, Mercedes, Mazda, or Honda, and want to protect your investment against damage caused by rocks, gravel, salt, or insects? Redlands Clear Auto Bra has the answer for as low as $499, a paint protection covering that keeps your vehicle in showroom condition year after year. Don't let stone damage ruin your car's finish. Call Redlands Clear Auto Bra at 951-333-7647 or go to RedlandsClearAutoBra.com. That's Redlands Clear Auto Bra. Redlands Clear Auto Bra offers the best protection with the highest quality film for your vehicle that you'll never see for as low as $499. Call 951-333-7647. 951-333-7647. If you drive the 10 or 91 freeways, your car needs the paint protection offered by Redlands Clear Auto Bra. Call 951-333-7647. 951-333-7647. Or log on to RedlandsClearAutoBra.com today.
Your voice, your opinions, heard round the world at www.kcaaradio.com. The station that leaves no listener behind, AM 1050 KCAA. This is Taking Your Business Seriously with Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Here now to help you take your business to the next level, the host of Taking Your Business Seriously, Gary Capolino.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we're going to talk about marketing. If you have a question relating to the subject of small business, you can call us at 888-909-1050, or you can email us at gary@takingyourbusinessseriously.com. Okay, on the subject of marketing, okay, for anybody who is starting a business, that's all there is. You've started a business, nobody knows you're there, and the only way that people will find out that you are there is through marketing. Now, for the larger business, marketing is all around us, substantiated with huge budgets and all the things that we don't have. Okay? But it's very easy for you to know that there's a radio station called KCAA 1050 because you're listening to it. Okay? And to put them into a position where you know that they're there and you listen to them is the product of many, many marketing dollars. Okay? But for you, the small business, you don't have many, many marketing dollars. And so it's a whole different game. Okay? Every one of us who starts a business dreams of the day that we're a big company with a big marketing budget and everybody that we see on the street knows you, not for who you are, but who your business is. I guess you would call that small business success. But the fact is, the small business success is all around us because every big business that you see was a small business when it got started. There are exceptions, but for the most part, every great idea was a little idea at some point in time. Okay, so when we talk about marketing our small business, mostly what we're marketing is the product and services that we have. Okay, and when we talk about that, we're talking about finding our customers and selling to those customers. It's not the question of who can use your products or services, but who will be the most likely people to buy your product and services. Because in the example of me, an accountant, okay, every business can use my product or services. But the businesses who are most likely to use my product or services are the businesses who don't have an accountant or are unhappy with the service that they're getting from their accountant. Okay? My preference is to deal with the people who have never seen an accountant before, so I can show them what an accountant can do. All right, Gary, now, in the interest of examples that all of us can understand, okay, give me an example where somebody selling something shows it or puts it in front of the people who will buy it.
Well, the classic example that I heard throughout college and from other sources is like when you go to a supermarket and candy, it's always at the eye level of like a toddler or a young infant, just because they're the main, they're the people who want that product, and they're the ones who need to see it and try and get their parents to get it for them.
Right, and to put that into marketing parlance, that would be the consumer is the kid, okay? The buyer is mom or dad. And this perhaps is the issue or the demonstration of the referral at its most basic element. Okay? Who's making the referral here, Gary?
The kid.
That's right. Okay? And if you're selling candy to a baby, okay, that's your meaningful referral. And why would this referral be accepted by the parent?
Because the parent wants to make the kid happy.
That's right. It's love. Okay? Once again, in the cold, calculating world of business, we bring love into the package. Okay? And when people are spending because of love, how many limits are there?
None.
That's right. Well, I guess the limit would be the credit line or how much money is in the wallet on a given day. But does such a strategy work with candy?
No, because you can get it for a dollar or even cheaper.
No, I mean in terms of the selling strategy. Does putting that candy in front of the baby work?
Yes.
Okay, so we're on to something here. All right, do you have another example?
Yeah, you were talking a little bit earlier about the old vacuum salesman or the door-to-door salesman who would go door-to-door and he would talk to the housewife of a home because she would be the one who needs the vacuum to clean the house. And he's doing the same thing. He's getting it to the consumer.
Okay. And did we point out any flaws in this particular model?
Yeah. Sometimes, well, back in the day, the housewife wouldn't be in charge of where the money goes that the husband earns or she earns when she's doing her work.
That's right. So then the magic bullet would be to knock on the door when mom and dad are both home, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And do we see that happening in today's world?
Not really to that extent with the door-to-door aspect, but it's kind of a newer version is out there today.
And what's that?
Just the, I don't know. I can't think of a really perfect
example. The telephone. That's the biggest peeve in the world today, is that people call at dinner time, but they're calling at dinner time for a variety of reasons. What would they be?
Because they're trying to get you when everyone's home.
That's right. And they're also trying to get you when you are home, okay? Because we're increasingly living our lives outside the house. Okay, this is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we're talking about marketing. Okay, if you have a question relating to the subject of small business, you can call us at 888-909-1050, or you can email us at gary@takingyourbusinessseriously.com. Okay, so continue along with our marketing here. Okay, you came up with some really good examples of things that we see every day that are marketing at work. And we're not marketing as much to people who know people, although the baby example works. And in the sense of the wife and the vacuum cleaner salesman, she may be the user, not necessarily the buyer. But you're getting pretty close, okay? But for any other business, or for all businesses, once we've identified who the most likely person is to use or buy your product or service. Okay, once you find them, the next question is to determine where you can find groups of them. Okay, now the favorite example, or perhaps the easier example, is looking in the medical industry. Okay, in the medical industry, okay, the way doctors keep up on the latest developments in their business is to go to, so to speak, conventions where they talk about the issues in their field. Now, some of the concerns may be medicine and the latest drugs that have been developed to help deal with certain ailments in specific areas of medicine, okay? Or it may be just the progress of certain medical studies that are going on in the local universities. And these, of course, are extremely important elements for being a doctor. So if you have something that relates to the business of medicine, and you need to talk to doctors, then these conventions are the perfect place to go. Okay? Now, of course, this is all dependent on your budget, too. If you're a startup company, and I can't think of an immediate example of what would be the thing that every doctor has to have, but let's just say it's something that would speed up the process of seeing a client or a patient in a specific industry or in a specific area. Someone has cancer, and we've kind of been through all the basic things, but there are five or six questions that are immediately answered, and somebody has automated this idea. Okay, so what do? You go to where the cancer doctors are meeting. Okay, but once again, since we're in Southern California, and you look up in the publications, the trade publications, and find out that their meeting this year is in Chicago. Okay? Well, now that suddenly turns into a rather expensive trip to Chicago. And when you get there, the doctors in their free time may be more interested in playing golf than listening to you. So there's kind of a high-risk investment here. Surely, out of the 2,500 doctors that are going to be there, someone will talk to you, and there is a potential. But that cost of that trip to Chicago and perhaps a marketing pass to go to the convention, okay, you could be talking about between airfare, hotel bills, going to the convention, and meals, an expenditure plus any marketing materials you need of somewhere between $2,000 and $3,000. Okay? Could there be another way to do this, Gary?
Yeah, sure.
And what would that be? Southern California, maybe?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Granted, the one we identified as the ideal one might be in Chicago, but maybe we need to find somebody who's meeting in Southern California. Now, suddenly, you've just removed perhaps two-thirds, maybe three-quarters of the expense of finding doctors. Okay? And a lot of people make this mistake, whether it's hiring somebody that they absolutely have to have or buying something that they have to see first. But the manufacturer is in Florida. Okay? There's always another way. Okay? And a lot of it is finding local sources. There's very little that you can't get or find in Southern California. And in that sense, if we're starting a business in Southern California, we're very fortunate to live in Southern California because we can find it. Okay? This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary and we're talking about marketing. And when we return, we'll be talking about marketing mistakes. If you have any questions relating to the subject of small business, you can call us at 888-909-1050, or you can email us at Gary at takingyourbusinessseriously.com. Stay with us.
Attention business owners, do you want to spend more time focusing on your business and less on managing it? In these economic times, you don't need to add another full-time salary to get more effective administration. Take your business to the next level with radio host and founder of the Part-Time CFO, Gary Capolino, who's been serving Southern California business for over 20 years. He provides outsourced professional services you can afford. Call Gary at 951-653-5053. That's 951-653-5053 or GaryThePartTimeCFO.com.
Get ready for a blast to the past with the 22nd annual Stater Brothers Route 66 Rendezvous, the hottest classic car show in Southern California. We're talking muscle cars, trucks, and hot rods cruising down the streets of San Bernardino. Live entertainment, contests, celebrities, great food, rides for the kids, and thousands of cool cars. September 15th through the 18th. Be there or be square. Free to the public. Go to route-66.org for details.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Ellen.
One night I was at a bar. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel.
I got a cab.
A squirrel ran across the road. I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I hit a guy.
The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Thanks for asking, but I'd rather not send you nude pictures. I'm camera shy. I already said no. Under my clothes, I'm a robot. My webcam is broken. I'm worried they'll get passed around school. I have a rash. I have nudophobia. I have lizard skin. I'm a vampire, so I don't show up in pictures anyways. Your badgering has really killed the mood.
When someone is pressuring you to do something you don't want to, how many ways can you say no before they get the message? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sassy!
Today's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Oh, nuts! There's a bobcat in this cave! Save us, Sassy!
You will, but first you'd like to stress the importance of cat adoption? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year and they need to be adopted?
Help us, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Have you ever wondered why other people reach success? You never do. Have you wondered why it is so hard to hear the word no? Have you ever felt lonely and out of place? Would you like to be comfortable being you in any situation? Would you like to wake up every morning feeling fresh and in touch? Tune in every Tuesday at 6 p.m. for In Tune With You with host Linda Koss. Each week, you'll hear from people who are living their passion. People like you and me from all over the Inland Empire and beyond. Tune in every Tuesday at 6 p.m. for In Tune With You with host Linda Koss.
Other talk stations use words like savage. Sounds brutal. Hey, it's all good. Your superstation, AM 1050, News Talk KCAA.
They say I'm crazy, but I have a good time. Life's been good to me so long.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we've been talking about marketing, and now we're going to talk about marketing mistakes. But before we do, I just want to touch on something that we kind of tripped over in the first segment. The subject of people calling to sell you stuff on your phone at 6 o'clock. Now, we all talk about this as a general nuisance, and for a lot of us it is. But just like the other things that we see all around us, it's another product of successful marketing. Because the fact is, the people that call at 6 o'clock call at 6 o'clock for a reason. Because they got all the elements to sell something. And in many cases, they do. So you may not be the enthusiastic receiver of a 6 o'clock phone call, but you are probably the happy buyer of something that was sold to you at 6 o'clock. So, granted, we all want to sell stuff without getting in people's way. But at the same time, we do want to sell stuff. We can find a way to do it without getting in people's way. Then that's probably a better way to sell stuff. Okay, now on the subject of marketing mistakes, there are a number of basic rules here. They kind of go with the marketing that we talked about earlier. But now these are kind of examples where we didn't exactly apply the rules that we just gave you. And the first of these would be what I call losing focus on who you are and who your customers are. Gary, you have any examples of this?
Yeah, maybe somebody who's trying to sell an air conditioning company or something like that in like a really cold area or something like that, like in Alaska or somewhere like that.
Okay. But the problem with this is that while that may be a flawed marketing approach, sometimes our buying approach is flawed. So we come up with somebody who is trying to sell us a marketing program that just makes no sense. But he's selling it to you with such enthusiasm and such vigor that you're sold. And, of course, it's after the sale is made that you go and bring it up with, your significant other, who says, "Are you crazy? That's really stupid." And that's the whole thing. Okay, a rule that I use when I buy stuff, and it's funny because I listen to the person who's selling it come up with all these great reasons why I need to buy it, but I've already arrived at a reason as to whether I need to buy it or whether I need to sell it. And one of my favorite examples is, and these are usually organizations that we're supposed to use to market our company. And usually we have to pay to join it. And they're usually the networking organizations or part of joining some larger organization. And while it's not really a business organization, it's a good generic example where you join the AARP, which is, of course, the American Association of Retired Persons. And as a group, they've gained collective buying power as a group. And they also lobby politically and do things for the benefit of their members. Okay? And that's, I guess, an example of what every member-driven organization would want to be. But in the business community, there are also other organizations that do this. And a lot of them are networking organizations. But usually what happens is whether it's through their members or whether it's through other people that see a value in being connected with them, they usually come up with a whole bunch of great advantages of being a member. And a lot of them are that you get a certain percentage when you shop at this store, or you get free this or free that. You get to be in their business directory. You get to maybe be able to use their logo on your card, and they go and they promote your business to when people come to them and ask for somebody in your specific field. And while these are all things that you would put some value on and be interested in, they're usually not the reason that you're joining the organization. So when you get back to the membership fee that you have to pay to join the organization, the question is that money buying you what you need, and is it going to bring you the quantity that you would expect to get for the amount of money involved? Now, for instance, the going rate for such a organization is usually between $150 and $250. Now, to the budding entrepreneur, is that worth it, Gary?
Well, to them, it may not be, because that may be a significant portion of the money they've already put into the business or the money they have left to put into the business.
That's right. And you will usually get the justification Well, it's for a whole year, not just a week. And, once again, that may be a good justification. But the question is, what are you expecting to get from it? Okay, because if you're looking at the list of 25 benefits that they're offering you, that shouldn't even be part of the consideration, because that's not why you came there. Now, if there's something that has specific meaning, and my favorite example is something that that happened to me personally, and it had to do with the membership store, okay, your Sam's Club and your Costco. And I don't remember what the percentage was that they claimed that their prices were less than everybody else. But I think it was 3% or 5%, and then you have the membership. And I went and ran a calculation to see, if that's how much I'm saving, how much money do I have to spend before I've effectively earned my membership fee in savings? And the fact is that the amount was kind of, I think it was 3%, which effectively meant for a $300 member fee, and offhand I don't remember what the number was, but 3% effectively meant, I believe, that you had to pay, spend $9,000 or something like that to join them, or maybe it was $900. But the funny thing is that soon after, we realized that the savings in the pharmacy very quickly saved us $300. And that's a good example, and a rather compelling example, of why you join an organization. Because you're not talking about saving your membership fee over the cost of over the length of a year, but almost immediately. Now, the dynamics have to be something that are so clear you can't avoid it. Okay, now, the real value in terms of going through spending money is spending it down a proven channel. Gary, what's a good example of a proven channel?
Well, you were talking about with that example, it isn't proven, but it's that works for that certain individual. Proven, you just have to be guaranteed it. It's just very hard. I can't think of a specific example.
All right, well, if you're talking about a specific industry, okay, and you know somebody in that industry who's successful, okay, maybe asking them what works for them might help you to follow their good example to success, where they spend their money marketing to bring themselves success, is maybe, if you're in the same industry, a good place for you to spend your money. But that's the basic marketing mistake that we run into, is that we spend a lot of money on avenues that never really work. And it's not about just membership organizations. Okay, in my business, there are there are channels that just simply don't work. But for other businesses, they will. And that's the key, knowing what works and what doesn't. Everybody likes to say the Yellow Pages works, but there are certain areas that we look in the Yellow Pages, and there are certain areas that we don't. Okay. Another thing is, when we spend our money on things that are just simply at the expense, and I'm sorry, not our money, but our time. Well, time is money. But when we spend our time on things that just are not productive, and if we could spend that time chasing customers, maybe we do a little bit better. Did we discuss an example of this before, Gary?
Yeah, you're spending your time and money to kind of go after a client who hasn't paid you. You're taking time out of your day to go see him, go talk to him, try and get the money that he owes you, instead of really trying to go find someone else who will pay you.
And this is one of the biggest conflicts for a lot of entrepreneurs. Okay, I just worked for somebody, and he didn't pay me. This is money that I should have, and I'm not going to let him get away with it. Okay, now granted, depending on the amount involved, okay, there is a trade-off here. But what I've found is the more money that's owed to you, the smaller the chance that you're going to collect it. And that's just a reality. That mistake was made in qualifying your customer. But now what you're doing is you're spending good money after bad money to try to collect something that may not be collected. And my view is, when I work for people, they're supposed to pay me. That's everybody's view. But if they don't pay me, I do my best not to allow the amount to get so large that it turns into a hole in my head. Okay? What you need to do is limit your exposure and then spend your money chasing people who will pay you, chasing people who will want to pay you. Now, half the game here is providing a product or service that they will be happy with and they will be happy to pay you. But as I covered in my video, Taking Your Business Seriously, we talk about this also. And the issue is that if you don't keep on building your business, you will have no business. And if you spend your money chasing money that you don't have, it's just not going to be there. Okay? If you sell a product and service that people like, there will always be people who will take advantage of you. And those aren't the people that will be your repeat customers. If you have to break somebody's arm to get them to pay you, they're not going to be a repeat customer. You're not going to want to work for them anymore. They're not going to want to deal with you anymore because they've already taken advantage of you. And it's just simply time to move on. Okay, from time to time I've mentioned this video, Taking Your Business Seriously. It's available at the website, takingyourbusinessseriously.com. And it's a primer for budding entrepreneurs, but anyone in the earlier stages of a new business could avoid a lot of the mistakes entrepreneurs make in their first business venture. It covers everything from the elements of business formation, choosing a consultant, business planning, entity selection, payroll issues, employee relations, getting legal advice, the benefits of an accounting system, and the Capilino Rule of Six. Again, this video is available on the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com website. Okay, now as we continue talking about marketing mistakes, one of my favorites is when you forget who you are and the resources at your disposal. Okay, the problem here is where we simply spend too much money in the context of what we're doing. Okay, one of the great games of television and radio advertising is that you the cheaper windows are in the middle of the night when nobody's watching, and the more expensive windows of advertising are during prime time when everyone's watching. But for the small business, if he's going to advertise in this channel, you have two issues. One is you want somebody to hear your message. And the other is you don't want too much volume because you may not be able to handle it. Although in my experience, it turns out that when you're worrying about this too much volume, the reality is you should have such problems. But the point is that you can't market a business with limited resources into a channel that is going to get you incredible sales. Okay? If you get incredible sales, now you have a whole new set of problems trying to fulfill the sales. Okay? And the fact is that through your limited resources, you can only deliver so much of anything you're selling, whether it be a service or whether it be a product. Because when you have to deliver a service, you're limited to the resources at your disposal. You can't do everything else, so you have to hire people. And if you don't have many resources financially, then you don't have the money to pay these people. Now, the money is all going to come rolling in from the sales. But what about that collections arm? Are you going to be able to collect the sales? And if you're selling product then you have to manufacture and buy that product. And that's subject to the rules of finance. And this is a whole other area that we'll touch on in a later radio show. This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we've been talking about marketing and marketing mistakes. And when we come back, we'll be talking about the marketing mistakes of the part-time CFO. I've made them too, and hopefully you can learn from my experience. If you have a question relating to small business, you can call us at 888-909-1050, or you can email us at gary@takingyourbusinessseriously.com. Stay with us.
Attention business owners, do you want to spend more time focusing on your business and less on managing it? In these economic times, you don't need to add another full-time salary to get more effective administration. Take your business to the next level with radio host and founder of the part-time CFO, Gary Capolino, who has been serving Southern California business for over 20 years. He provides outsourced professional services you can afford. Call Gary at 951-653-5053. That's 951-653-5053 or GaryThePartTimeCFO.com.
Get ready for a blast to the past with the 22nd annual Stater Brothers Route 66 Rendezvous, the hottest classic car show in Southern California. We're talking muscle cars, trucks, and hot rods cruising down the streets of San Bernardino. Live entertainment, contests, celebrities, great food, rides for the kids, and thousands of cool cars. September 15th through the 18th. Be there or be square. Free to the public. Go to route-66.org for details.
Energy efficiency interviews are brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
April.
Yeah?
So you know your charger that's plugged into the wall? It's still using energy, even though it's not attached to a phone.
That's not my charger. I don't even have a cell phone. You know what? I'll just unplug it. I'm busy. I'll call you back.
Millions of kids are using their energy wisely. What's your excuse? Learn more at loseyourexcuse.gov.
My sport is football, but my passion is education. So every year, I take promising high school students on a college tour. It shows them that there's a whole world beyond their own. But what's even better is that most of these kids decide college is for them. My name is Nnamdi Asamoah. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Find out how you can live United for Education. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is the Kathleen Wells Show. For those who'd like to sink their teeth into some real information about politics and world affairs, check out me, the Kathleen Wells Show, which airs Wednesdays at 11 on KCAA. Thought-provoking, riveting guests, engaging and dynamic conversation, politicians and public figures, things of local and national interest. You won't want to miss it. Tune in every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon. It's the Kathleen Wells Show. Don't miss it. 11 o'clock every Wednesday, right here on 1050.
For the record, hell, we are the record. KCAA, the Inland Talk Express.
They say I'm crazy, but I have a good time. Life's been good so long.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we're talking about marketing mistakes. But now I'd like to move to the marketing mistakes of the part-time CFO. Okay, as an accountant, I don't claim to be an expert on marketing, except for the lessons that I've learned in the last 20 years. Now, as part of earning my accounting degree, I took a number of hours in marketing, so I'm not exactly a neophyte. But at the same time, as I proved in the early days of running a business, I had a lot to learn. And at this particular point, as I said, I've just learned from all the mistakes that I've made. I've been doing it for about 20 years. And in that particular sense, what I want to do is just run down a few examples of some of the things that I did, because I think many of us can learn from them, and perhaps maybe I can save some people from the same mistakes that I made. Okay, the most memorable on my list was the time that I bought an ad in a new publication that wasn't run. Okay, now, looking at the different rules that I gave you before on marketing, I thought I was kind of right on this one. I had identified what I thought was a niche of the market that would just be full of new businesses. So my basic goal of being the first accountant for any of these new businesses, I thought was really good for this particular group. And this magazine was going to be focused specifically at that group. So when somebody on their sales staff approached me and asked me if I would like to buy an ad that would run in the first 3 or 4 issues, as I remember, and I think they were going to start off on a quarterly basis, but it was something that seemed perfect for me. Okay. Now, granted, I have a little bit of the benefit of hindsight here, but the fact is that what I have learned over the last 20 years, and it's incorporated in a lot of the marketing rules that I gave you, and that is that people don't buy accounting services in particular on the basis of a print ad. It doesn't really matter what it says. Okay? People buy accounting services usually from happy clients or referrals from people with the business experience to know the difference between a good accountant and a bad accountant. And usually it's a function of the clients that they have and the good work that's been done for those clients. Okay? Right now, I have a significant client that I won't mention here, but at the same time, anybody who knows that client and knows me as their accountant immediately jumps to the conclusion that I must be a good accountant. Okay? And that works very nicely. The fact that I've been with that client for 10 years, that works very nicely too. Maybe it means that some of the assumptions that people jump to are true. But you don't get this kind of assurance from a print ad. You get this in dealing with people on a face-to-face basis. Now, the funny thing about this print ad, misguided as it may have been, is I spent $528 for it. Now, you can do the math yourself, but at the time that I did that, this expenditure represented 15% of my sales for that particular year. Okay, now you can go around and look at a lot of organizations that spend money at marketing and figure out what they spend as a percentage of their sales, and you will find that 15% on the most marketing-based organization as a percentage of sales is absolutely off the deep end. Okay, so I don't know what I was thinking, except that I was very naive at the time. Of course, just to show you how naive I was, I didn't really take the trouble to do a whole lot of homework. You know, little things, like reading the magazine before I ran an ad in it. And the other thing, I don't care how excited the promoters of a magazine are. Okay, any startup publication does very slow at the beginning. So I spent 15% of my sales that year on a magazine that was not going to do very good in the first couple publications because nobody knew it was there. So if I had a problem that nobody knew that I was there, how far was I going to go advertising in a publication that nobody knew existed? Okay, so anyway, good example of a failed scheme. But to add insult to injury, as if I didn't make enough mistakes in the process, the magazine never ran. And I never got my money back. So, anyway, by definition, I always like to say the conventional wisdom is that most businesses fail in the first 3 to 5 years, or in the first 2 years, I guess. The old statistic they used to wave around when I was in college was 80% of all businesses fail in the first 2 years. And there are some footnotes to that study. But the fact is that they also say that before you're successful, you have to fail 2 or 3 times. Now, I always like to say that I'm sure I meet that particular criteria. But the problem is I don't know how many times I failed because I never changed the name of my business. But the fact is there are many times in the first several years where I had to go and get a job because I needed to pay my bills. Now, the 3 to 5 year range that I mentioned was the adage that says that before you're successful or reach a level of financial activity in your business that you're comfortable with, you have to be in the business for 3 to 5 years. Okay? What I learned from my earlier experiences was that I figured that that meant, okay, I keep the business going and I work on part-time jobs and things like that to pay the bills and keep things going. But what I learned when the first 5 years was over, that unless you are working at your business full-time, that 3 to 5 years clock does not start. It doesn't start until you're working full-time. So after 3 to 5 years, I had to think again about whether I still wanted to start my business. And there were many times when the answer was no. But since I didn't have a full-time job or a regular job, I kept on going with the business. Now, for sticking with it, it's worked. Okay, another great mistake that I made is joining one of those membership-based organizations that I was talking about before. Now, the fact is, I've talked many times in earlier shows about one of the good places to go when you start a business is the Chamber of Commerce. And it's a good place to go if your market is small startup businesses. And for the most part, that's true. But the problem is that each Chamber of Commerce is itself an independent organization. And depending on the interests of management, some are good for small businesses and some aren't. Now, the example that I'll put forward here, and I've been involved in more than one Chamber of Commerce, but the one that comes to my mind as a Chamber of Commerce that don't work very well is the one in Moreno Valley. I've been a member there at different times of the last 20 years, probably for 3 membership terms. And every time my membership term comes to an end, I swear I'm never going to go back to that place. But the fact is, I've made good contacts through that particular chamber, and through the continued relationships with these people, it makes me think from time to time that I should come back. And the last time around, I thought it would be great to tell everybody about my new radio show. And the funny thing is that the Chamber of Commerce, recognizing me as not having paid my dues in the last year, would not even let me talk about my radio show, not with their permission. And a lot of us, when we reach the next level, the first thing we do is try to share it with the people who helped us get here. But that's not how this Chamber of Commerce works. I dare say that perhaps they resent the fact that I'm successful, and they weren't a part of it, because the fact is, they weren't. The first year that I was a member with this particular chamber, they offered me all the menu of benefits, and of course the big thing was that I would meet people and make contacts to help build my business. But one of the things that I was extremely dependent and expectant on was the subject of referrals. I needed referrals. And I went through almost an entire year of membership without getting any referrals from the chamber itself. Now, I made contacts through networking, but the chamber itself did not refer anybody to me until about 3 weeks before my membership expired. And the person that they referred me explained to me, when I introduced myself and my services and all that, and they explained that the only reason they came to me was because the president of the organization, who was also an accountant, wasn't accepting any more clients. So apparently the reason that I wasn't getting any referrals for that first term was because I was competing with the president of the organization. But the other thing, I was talking about all the great things that they offer because you're a member of the chamber and how these will help your business, like a free listing in the online directory. The funny thing is, in 1997, I recommended to them that they should get a web page. And they didn't get a web page for another 5 to 6 years after that. Of course, maybe I was a little self-interested because my client at the time was a web service provider. But nonetheless, it was a good idea, and we were ahead of the curve. But nonetheless, these days, what organization wouldn't give you a listing in their online directory if they have one? But the question you always need to ask yourself and to look at these particular websites and see when the last time it was updated was. This could be a serious issue, that you could end up missing half of your membership because somebody forgot to put you on the site. Okay, a lot of the things that they offer, a liaison between your business and the city. What startup business needs to talk to the city? Their free low-cost webinars, seminars, and workshops. I offered a free workshop. They wouldn't let me do it because the bookkeepers were concerned that if I gave away free services or free advice, that they wouldn't go to them for business. So as a result, I never got to give free workshops. I thought that would have been a great idea because the people who were in charge of the home-based business committee wanted to line up seminar after seminar of people selling services. There was one for the insurance company. There was one for the real estate broker. There was one for the, there was a lawyer that was going to do a seminar for legal issues and all that. People start a business. They ain't lining up to buy stuff. They need help. They need advice. And if you want to help your businesses, that's what you need to do. But as I said, I've never seen any of this in Moreno Valley. And when I've suggested it, they just treat me like I'm from another planet. At the same time, as I mentioned, I've been involved in other chambers. And I'll point you to the Riverside Chamber of Commerce. I'm not saying they're the only good one. I'm sure there are plenty of good ones. And in the next couple months, I hope that I can get to know a number of them as I promote my radio show. But the fact is, the Riverside Chamber of Commerce has this great thing where they have their networking meeting, a central one. But they also have several of them geographically spread throughout the city of Riverside. So you're not always meeting the same people. You're meeting new people on a regular basis. And I've literally built my business from the connections I made at that chamber. This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. You can check out our website at takingyourbusinessseriously.com or me at email us at gary@takingyourbusinessseriously.com. Our special thanks to Brett, our engineer, and the KCAA radio station. tuning to us next week when we'll once again do our best to take your business to the next level. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.
KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
NBC News Radio, I'm Melissa Rayberger. Firefighters continue to battle the huge wildfire near Austin, Texas, that has now claimed two lives. NBC's Jay Gray says significant resources have been deployed.
About 400 firefighters, 47 engines, 27 dozers, and a handful of helicopters. Still, to this point, that show of force has had little, if any, effect. The fire here still burning out of control.
The sheriff in Carson City, Nevada, says a gunman shot 10 people today, including 5 members of the National Guard. 2 members of the Guard and another person were killed. Officials say the gunman then killed himself. President Obama's approval ratings have plunged to a new low. White House spokesman Jay Carney says the president is focused on jobs, not polls.
What he is focused on is doing what the American people are demanding that Washington do, which is listen to them. And not spend a lot of time trying to score political points.
More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Melissa Rayberger, NBC News Radio.
Laryngitis and public speaking don't go together. Neither do germs and doorknobs. But thanks to the Walgreens brand sale, cold tablets and bandages do. Because this week at Walgreens, you can mix, match, and save on thousands of Walgreens pharmacist-recommended Walgreens brand health and wellness products. Buy one Walgreens brand product, get one 50% off. See store or walgreens.com for details. Walgreens, there's a way. Of equal or lesser value, offer not available on products or services submitted for insurance reimbursement. Other exclusions or restrictions may apply. Void where prohibited by law.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. With a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you'll end up paying over $400,000 after interest. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your debts. Let me send you a powerful free CD. For your free CD, call 1-800-942-9529. 1-800-942-9529. 1-800-942-9529.